And welcome to the Everyday Board Game Podcast with Daniel.
And Daniel.
And Daniel.
Yes.
We just finished filming an episode right before this. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. We already gotten through one debate. Let's do another.
Yeah, now we're into the real debate because this thing gets hurt. So if you are regular viewers of our podcast or listeners, you'll know that we just finished up the Funkoverse versus Unmatched episode, which is a brand new thing for us. I mean, we haven't done anything like that. That was a pretty interesting episode.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, let's see how it's received. But I think it's something we should add like once a month or something like that, comparing two games that are a lot alike together. I think it did well.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But back from the new into the old, let's do our top eight debates, which is what we do here at Everyday Board Games.
And this one's a big one for us. We're both happy about this. I'm giddy about doing this. We finally were able to get enough where we can get honorable mentions in a top eight debate. I am happy.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I had been putting this one off because we always have at least one or two games from this designer in like the mail.
Well, I got three I'm waiting to get in this year alone.
I have, let me see here. How many do I have on my shelf of shame alone? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, at least 5 that are on my shelf of shame and 2 more that we're going to be getting in the mail that you and I both get.
No. 3.
Oh, yes. That's right. We got 3. We'll talk about those here in a minute, too. But they look exciting. But I have 5 on my shelf of shame. Well, 4.5 right now.
I have 0 on my shelf of shame. Mind you, I don't have as many as you do. Yeah. There are a few that I still want to pick up. But do we want to tell the people who the designer is? Or we just want to keep,
Let's keep going. So let's talk about the first one that's on my shelf of shame without telling you. No. No, let's talk about what is. Our top eight debate is a designer that you and I both really, really enjoy.
Stefan Feld.
Stefan
Feld. Now, we've done a board game breakdown of Stefan Feld, but we haven't done a top eight debate. But we can now.
And at that time, that's because you and I had only played like roughly 7. I think I might have had 8 already.
Yeah, I think I was missing a couple, and then we actually hammered some in within the last year when we could get together, or on Board Game Arena, or whatever we could.
That's right. So we're going to be debating the top 8 Stefan Feld board games. This caused some argument online.
Oh, yeah.
This was a good one. I always like it when we do a top 8 debate. And there is a wide range of opinion on it.
Yeah, here's the thing. We remember to put the post up this time. We still put it up the day of, and there is a lot of discussion on here. I'm just doing like simple math, and we have close to, we're over 200 votes.
That's right. So let's talk about the honorable mention. But before we do, do we want to talk about how we actually do these top 8 debates?
Yes, why don't you go ahead and explain it while I set up the brackets?
You got it. So in our top 8 debates, we pick a topic, designer, publisher, category, family of game, mechanism, any of those topics that we can debate about. And we go on BoardGameGeek.com. If you're not familiar with BoardGameGeek.com, go get familiar with BoardGameGeek.com because it is a wonderful resource for gamers.
It's a little difficult at first. They've made it a lot easier nowadays. You should have seen it last couple of years.
Yeah. It's a wonderful resource. I highly suggest you go on there and check it out. And that's because on Board Game Arena or BoardGameGeek.com, you can pick one of those categories or mechanisms or et cetera. And what you can do is you can rank them by all of the users' rankings, and you kind of get like a bracket, which is awesome. Why I bring this up is because Daniel and I, when we pick these topics, we take the top 8 highest ranked games that meet that category or mechanism. So we took the top 8 highest ranking games with one caveat. Daniel and I both had to have played the games because we can't debate it if we haven't played it.
Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense.
So we're going to be talking about a few of the honorable mentions here in a bit, which either one of us or both of us have not played. but the other viewers have played it, and we thought it would be time to show them off.
And also, our honorable mentions could be that we've both played, it just didn't rank high enough on the list.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or they just didn't rank high enough on the list. That's right. I forgot about those. We'll talk about some of our honorable mentions after we're done. So we also rank these in five different categories while we're debating. We'll go into further detail during the or right before the debate itself, but they break down to ease of play, art and production, replay value, meaningful choices, and game immersion. Oh boy, game immersion is going to be a difficult one for us.
Yeah.
Because if you're familiar with Stefan Feld's games, you know they are just mechanisms in a box. He essentially invented the term point salad.
Yeah, he really is. He's the king of point salad. It's going to be tough, especially when we're talking about when we get to some games. It's going to be like game immersion when we get to that topic and table talk and stuff like that. And a lot of these games, you're sitting there going, And that's about it.
Yeah. They're known as like multiplayer solitaire games or some simple stuff. There's a lot of good and bad about that. If you like that style of game, if you're familiar with this stuff, then they're phenomenal. But if you like action-packed, maybe this isn't the debate for you this time around.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's all right. We understand.
If you're expecting Fantasy Flight stuff, you ain't going to like this top eight debate.
Probably not. So with that being said, let's go down the list and let's talk about some of the honorable mentions listed by our viewers.
Would you like to go first?
Sure. I'm going to start at the bottom.
Oh, okay. We're going down there, huh?
All right. I'm going down to the bottom first because I want to talk about some of these and I want to climb the list. You know what I mean? And so the very bottom one with one vote that I have on my list, there's a number with only one vote, is that's Castle of Burgundy, the card game. And that's a card
game. Oh, yeah. Our one votes are out of order.
Yep. That's a card game miniature version of the board game. Now, the board game is like a $45 game, you know, $50. Yeah. Castle Burgundy, the card game is like 15, maybe 20 at most. So if you want that same feel, some people even prefer this as their favorite over Castles of Burgundy because of how much quicker it is. What are your thoughts on that, Daniel?
I get that. Don't get me wrong. I see why people like it. I have played this one, and we'll talk about another one later. I think this is my least favorite out of the ones I have played. It's for what it is. It takes up so much space for a card game.
Yeah.
It's still fun. It's still Castles of Burgundy. I still have a good time with it. It's just, there's three games in this list, or there's three Castles of Burgundy, four if you want to include Tuscany, out there. Castles of Burgundy, Castle Burgundy, the dice game, and Castle Burgundy, the card game. The card game is my least favorite out of the three I've played.
Right. And that's because, I mean, we played Castles of Burgundy, the board game. I think it takes less table space on the board game than it does the card game,
yeah, which are
because they're miniature cards.
Yeah. And it's an interesting concept the way the card game works is like, hey, you flip this, the die up there, that's your number. So which one are you choosing or how you're using and stuff like that is different. But it's Castles of Burgundy. It's just the cards or the dice. And you're going into the flip of the card rather than the roll of the die.
Oh, I see. Okay. See, I feel like that's a very good point. It's just, I feel like they really went out of their way to justify not having the dice in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That detracts it. For me personally, I apologize that my computer is blowing up. My apologies. That's on my end. Viewers at home, hopefully not too much longer. I have to have Facebook up just to talk about some of these, so I apologize. Let's talk about the next one, Daniel.
So the next one on my list, also with one vote, is Roma. Now, I have heard of the game, haven't played it myself.
Okay. Roma, I do own it. I just received it in the mail a couple days ago, actually. And from what I looks like, I think I can, I don't know the full details on it, but you basically roll three dice on your turn. Those are the columns of cards that you are allowed to activate. So there's like columns. There is a bribery column. as well. Or you, one of the neat things about it that I did recognize from the mechanisms that I think are really fantastic is that money is a big currency in the game. If you roll a die, you can choose that to be either get that much money, so like a 5 would get you $5, or you can draw that many cards and then keep one of them. So you have more of a choice. So if I roll a 5, I can draw 5 cards, keep one of the 5.
Okay.
So I think that's really kind of neat.
No, it sounds interesting, and I'm more than willing to try it because, well, it's a failed game. What do you expect me to say?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Like, how dare you accuse me of such things, sir? Yeah, Roma looks really cool. It's a 2-player card game. It combines with Arena Roma 2, and you can either shuffle the decks together or each use your own deck. But it's effectively the same game. The next one that's on my list had one vote, and that's Luna on my end by Tasty Minstrel Games and I think Pegasus Spiel. I might be wrong on that, but Luna is on my Shelf of Shame list. But it's on a different category. You see, recently, one of our friends had a brilliant idea of lowering the games on the Shelf of Shame by playing all of the single-player games that can play solo. So I decided, that's brilliant. Why haven't I done that yet? So I sorted out all of mine, and that's...
I wonder who that could have been.
I have no idea. And and so I've actually separated all 8 of the games that I have that are Shelf of Shame, and the one Stefan Feld that met that list is Luna. So I'm curious to try it.
Interesting. I do want to try it. I heard that's actually one of his meaner games out there.
Yeah. Definitely.
Because honestly, a lot of the games that we're going to be talking about, there's not a lot of player interaction in it. And so I heard Luna tends to be one of his meaner style games.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. What's our next one?
The next one on our list here also had one vote, and that is, and I have to mention this real quick before we get going. This is one of the first top 8 debates that we've had that didn't get 0 votes.
Yeah, everything had at least one vote. Wow. Is it the first?
Yeah, it is the first. There have been quite a few that have a couple that had no votes. The next one on my list here is Rialto. Now, I haven't personally played this one. A lot of these I haven't played. The thing I want to mention about Rialto is that it's getting re-implemented in the City series by Queen's Game. It's going to become the new New York City that should be on Kickstarter, I want to say like June, July, summer this year. I'm interested in playing that.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait to get it. The next one on our list had 3 votes. And so I'm going to add a caveat to this. It's called the Spiker Schacht, I think is how you pronounce it, Schacht.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was re-implemented by Jorvik. We have played Jorvik.
Yeah.
And so we will likely be talking about that later on. It is not it is not on our top 8 debate, but we have both played it. It's a fantastic game. It's actually kind of a bidding game.
Yeah. No, I really liked Jorvik. It was really fun. I enjoyed it. It's not on my honorable mentions, however, maybe on yours. But I think it's a phenomenal game. It's just there's a lot of Felds that I've played and I liked more.
Yeah, definitely. It's super fun. I mean, Jorvik is basically Spiker Schacht with the expansion added and with some tweaks into it, but that's effectively what it is. Yeah, that's all I can say about it.
All right, so the next one on our list here was added and got 3 votes, and that's one I've already mentioned, Castles of Tuscany. Now, this is one of the more recent ones. It's a re-implementation of Castles of Burgundy. It has an interesting mechanism where you're adding things, I guess you could say. You're building the board itself by the tiles and stuff like that, and does some other stuff. I have to play it to see how I like about it, because I really do enjoy Castles of Burgundy, and I want to see how this is re-implemented.
Yeah, I will say, like, so it's really like a streamlined family weight version of Castles of Burgundy, but it's so much to the point where it's almost engine building that I like it a lot. Here's the biggest difference. My wife likes Castles of Tuscany. This is the first Feld she's ever played that she liked. Okay. She has played Castle of Burgundy. She hated it. I really adore it. It's really
that hurts a lot.
It does hurt a lot. It's really good though. It's a really good game. But I can't wait to show you it because now I have someone in my house that is willing to play it with me.
And just so for people wondering what I was doing, I'm closing the votes and I'm writing out the totals as of now.
Cool. Our next one on the list was added by Jill and it had 8 votes.
Hey, and oh yeah. So were we?
I'm skipping 7 votes. I'm sorry. By Ryan, right? Because that's not on our list.
Yeah, that is not on our list.
Merlin. And this is the co-design between him and Michael Reineck, I believe.
I believe, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a roll and move game that you, this is one of the only Felds that you've owned before me. Tell the viewers about it.
I'll talk about it a little later.
All right, sounds good. We're skipping it for now. Let's go on to the next one. I can't imagine why.
So the next one on the list here is the one that you were about to mention. I was like, wait, you're missing something. This had 8 votes when it got added on, and that is Bruges. This is another one of those games that is getting a re-implementation in the Queen City series. It's also one I haven't played yet. And again, that's because the Queen series is just coming out and it'll come out sometime this year. And the re-implementation of this one, I believe, is this one Hamburg or is this one Amsterdam? I think this is Amsterdam.
I don't remember, and I haven't researched it enough to know off the top of my head. But either way, I'm buying it.
I think Amsterdam is Macau. This one is Hamburg, or yeah, Hamburg is Bruges. But from what my understanding, it is a hand management card playing game, so it looks really good. I'm getting some of the Kickstarter diaries from Queen Game where they're talking about like the stuff that's coming up, and some of the artwork for the games that are coming up look phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. The next one that we have on our list, Daniel, go ahead and take away.
It's your turn.
Wait, I'm sorry. It is my turn. With also 8 votes added by Jack, that's Macau, which I believe is also one that's going to be reprinted.
Amsterdam.
That's Amsterdam. So we have Bruges and Macau, which are Amsterdam and Hamburg, coming soon from Queen Games as they're
Rialto's New York. That is going to be Kickstarter this year, from my understanding.
So all the more reason for us not to buy a used copy of it and just get the new rethemed ones.
Yeah.
Also,
and in all honesty, the new rethemed ones look a lot prettier than the originals because I think most of those were Alea.
Yeah. Sorry, Alea. Anyway.
We like your games. We don't like your graphic design.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that later. Anyway.
So the next one on our list is Aquasphere with 9 votes. Yeah. I have not played this one. I've only seen bits and pieces of it. Certain people like it. Other people hate it. So I need to try it myself to find out how I feel about it.
This is a very divisive one that I've seen a lot of people either do or don't like it. I think it's basically like a big giant tech tree, and a lot of the actions that you can take are depicted by which faces you can move forward on. I do own it. Once again, I also have not played it. I want to, but we'll just have to see, because when you and I eventually play it, maybe we'll have to reprise this episode.
Probably.
Yeah, there's a very good chance that we'll have to. The next one on our list was added by Jeremy, and that's with 13 votes. And that
So this one is Bora Bora.
Bora Bora.
I have not played this one. I want to. Again, so a lot of the ones that we're talking about that we want to play but haven't, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I think you and me are the only ones in town that we know of that collect Feld games. So neither one of us want to play the aftermarket price that some of these games are going for. And so I'm like, I'm hoping if they're really that good, they'll get reprinted. Hopefully Bora Bora is a re-implementation in the Queen City series, because 6 games are going to be added. 2 so far, or 3 so far, have been re-implementation. I know the other one that's going with New York, Marrakesh, is a new game from Feld. So I'm hoping Bora Bora is another one that gets re-implemented on the third and final Kickstarter.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Yeah, and I'm hoping so too. I mean, I do own Bora Bora also, so I kind of hope it doesn't get, like, you know, completely ousted. But it looks so good, and I can't wait to play it. It'll just have to be when it happens. We'll see. All right, and that's it for our viewers' honorable mentions, but we had some discussion about it. Or did we have discussion?
We had a lot of discussion about it.
We had a lot of discussion. So let's run through the comments as mine are very slowly loading. Do you want to lead us off from here?
Sure. The first one here is Frankis, I think his name is. And he says he didn't want to vote because he's only played Castles of Burgundy. But he can tell you that it's a great game. And so I told him to go ahead and vote if that's the only one he played and he really liked it. But he still felt that that since it's the only one, he couldn't really compare him to others.
Yeah. And Jack brought up, he said, I can't believe that Macau was not on the list. Absolute gem of a game. And once again, it's only because you and I haven't played it. Not because we don't
think it. And I did explain that to him as well. And so he did add it to the list. And I heard really good things about Macau. I do want to try it. It's just, again, I didn't really want to pay those aftermarket prices because for some of the what people were charging, I can get two or three. Like I could have picked up In the Year of the Dragon, Notre Dame, and Castles of Burgundy for what they were asking for Macau.
Yeah, exactly. And he brought up a really good point. He said, or you brought up that you can add it to the list by all means. And he said, I did. No Feld list is complete without it. Love it.
So the next one here is just Renee letting us know that he voted for four games because he couldn't choose.
Yep. Adrienne said, Castles of Tuscany, it's similar to Castles of Burgundy, but quicker setup and playtime for at least for now. I hope to get an insert for Burgundy delivered soon. The setup would be easier. Now, I've done some pretty custom inserts for Burgundy before. It doesn't get much better. But he also said, Castles of Burgundy and Carpe Diem are close behind for me. I really like the way Castles of Burgundy plays, but it's a long setup, and Carpe Diem is the only one I've only played once, but I really like it.
Yeah, both we'll get into a little later when we tell you what the top eight debate is. Spoiler alert. Yeah. So, and then Max says, cubes go burr.
You have any idea what that means? I don't personally.
Not really.
Simon says, shh, don't tell anyone, but I haven't played a single one. And then Jack replied with a GIF emoji saying, heresy detected. And then, but Dan also replied, same, not enough solo options, which is why I'm eyeing up Bonfire, which does have a solo option.
From what some people have said, Castles of Burgundy also has a solo version if you have the Anniversary Edition.
Oh, okay, I did not know that. But Luna does come packaged with a solo version as well.
That's pretty cool. I did not know that. And again, I've explained when we get later on, there's another person who was asking about solo play, and I was like, I don't know. I play solo games, and I didn't look into these for solo play. So there's that. So, but the next one on our list here is Howard, and for him, it's Castles of Burgundy. It's beautifully designed. It's a beautifully designed game, and it's his go-to to on whatever that word is, Batujou. The Anniversary Edition is worth every penny.
And then Ryan replied,
I have the Anniversary Edition too. I'm not really sold, except the double benefits are a nice option. What do you like about it?
And he has not replied yet. So no. I'm sure that discussion will continue after our podcast, which is fine. Mark said, it's the only one I own. Interested in Trajan, Bora Bora. I skipped one. I apologize. Bora Bora, Macau, and Bonfire.
And he also says, actually, Merlin and Oracle Delphi. And so I had to actually look this one up because he says it's the only one he owns. I looked it up. He voted for Castles of Burgundy.
Okay.
And so the one you skipped is from Amy. And she says Castle of Burgundy. Simple mechanics, well-balanced, and so much replayability. Love it. Now about those graphics and components. And we'll get into that.
Yes, we will. Kevin says, Trajan. I love the Moncala system for actions. It requires a good amount of planning to get what you want. Lots of ways to score, as most of his games are.
And this is the one I was telling you about. Rachel is asking which ones has solo mode because she's only played Castles of Burgundy. I explained that I'm not sure, but Mark adds that Castle of Burgundy does and Bonfire does. And Francisco is agreeing with him. Bonfire and Castles of Burgundy 10th edition have solo variants.
And I'm just going to reply, Luna does too. Although I haven't played it. Kevin says, I have not played any of these. And then Colin replied, I have castles. We'll have to try it sometime. I guess they're friends.
Andrew says, I also picked a few. I love the choices in Chaining and Burgundy. Aquasphere has an interesting theme. Shocking. A Feld game with theme.
Yeah.
And the tower gives interesting action choices in Amerigo.
Yeah. Ryan says, Macau is a great classic. Looking forward to the remake being made this year called Amsterdam. Wow, we could have just looked at the comments and that would have
saved us some time.
Right. Oh, goodness.
And so it's just me and Ryan having a discussion. I was letting him know that I also wanted to get Macau. I just didn't want to pay, like I mentioned earlier. And so I was happy when the Kickstarter happens. And he kind of wished he had sold his Macau as soon as he learned about Amsterdam. But I'm not really like that, I guess, is what he says.
Yeah.
And then Dana adds, Amerigo for sure. I love the variable number of resource cubes that get per pound. Funniest story. My husband and I ran into Stefan Feld at Gen Con once, and he was gracious enough to pose for a picture with us. He asked me my favorite game of his, and when I told him Amerigo, I swear you could have knocked him over with a feather. Apparently, that is not the usual answer.
That's awesome. And then Ray says, Bora Bora. I like the family combos.
Travis follows that up with, not sure if I should vote for Speckerstadt since it already has a vote, or add Jorvik since that's what I've played, unaware if there was any changes. I really want to try Macau, Rialto, maybe Amerigo, and Year of the Dragon. Unfortunately, I haven't been a big fan of Felds that I've played.
Mark replied, or not replied, he said Castle of Burgundy because it's the only one I've played. Common.
Yeah. Alexia says, and I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, I'm going to go with the middle one here, Julia. I love Castles of Burgundy, but expletive, it's an ugly game. I also love Bonfire, which is luckily is much better looking, and I have to agree. And we're going to get into it later in the debate, but that's the difference between Tasty Minstrel in Alea.
Yep, that's a big factor, right? Or Pegasus Spiel in Alea.
Oh, Pegasus Spiel. Yes, sir. My bad.
And then Nick said, I'll say Castle of Burgundy, but I have a feeling Trajan would be on it if I played it. I do too.
Yeah, I think so too. Don says, Castle of Burgundy is elegant, balanced, fine-tuned, replayable. It just works. And I can't argue with that point either.
Nope. Harry says, Castle of Burgundy is the only one I've played, and I love it. Bonfire is death on my want list.
It's another good one. Mm-hmm. Jill says, I own nearly all his games. Hard to pick a favorite. Probably Amerigo for the map and Cube Tower. Bruges and Castles of Burgundy probably get to the table the most. She loves all the choices with tile placement or multi-use cards.
I'm going to skip the next one. It's just talking about ways to play it online. But yep. John has only played Carpe Diem. Now, that's surprising.
Yeah.
That's a pretty new game.
I do like it. We'll get into it again in a little bit. Steven says, I never feel right about responding to which game is best poll when I haven't played all the games. I've never played a Feld I didn't like, and one of those, Trajans is better than Castles of Burgundy. La Isla is better, Castles of Burgundy, which is better than La Isla. La Isla, which is better than Jorvik, which is better than Castles of Burgundy, the dice game.
Yep.
And then Matt was following that up with, he believes La Isla is such an underrated game. And Steven's agreeing with him. And I have to agree with him, too. La Isla does not get a lot of love.
It doesn't, but it's on our list. And we get it here in a bit. Matt says, I'll say Castle Burgundy is the best because it's the most well-rounded game. However, Trajan is my favorite to play. Well, that should be your favorite.
I think what he's going for, which is the best well-rounded, Trajan he just has more fun with. So. Sure. I think that's my issue too. For me, it's like 1A, 1B with those two. And I just think it's because Castles of Burgundy is so much simpler.
Yeah.
Another Matt, a different Matt says, I know I'm in the minority, but I love Bora Bora. I don't know if you're in the minority because it was one of our highest vote getters on the list that right. We didn't put on there, mostly because of the theme. He did not enjoy Luna. He likes castles. He enjoyed La Isla for the multi-use cards, and he hasn't played Trajan.
Yeah. And Colin Dylan says, I own Castle of Burgundy, but it's on my wall of shame. Ooh.
And finally, Kurt says, Merlin, by far for him.
Wow. What a great discussion that we've had. We really appreciate everybody for commenting. You and I have probably played, God, this is going to sound bragging, but you and I have probably played more than most of the players here. And so we're hoping that this debate list, I mean, nobody brought up anything in the comments about, you know, Notre Dame, Year of the Dragon, only one of La Isla, right?
So we couple of people talked about it, but yeah, only one brought it up. No one talked about In the Year of Dragon. There was only a couple Carpe Diem. I thought there would be more because it's one of the newer ones. Another one, Bonfire, I'm surprised only got mentioned a couple times too. And that's the newest one on this list. That's
probably why. It's probably just super new. I mean, I sought it out, you know, for a
reason. But then again, Castles of Tuscany is just as new and it was talked more than...
True. I wonder if it's because of that Castles of Blank.
Probably.
Like
it so goes you ready to get
Castles of Burgundy, Castles of Tuscany, Castles of the Mad King Ludwig. Oh, wait. One of these things is not like the other.
Not like the other. So do you want to start with our honorable mentions or do we want to explain the brackets?
Let's start with our honorable mentions since we just did that. My number, I'm actually changing mine on the fly because my original one was Castles of Tuscany. We brought it up. I've already talked about it. It's brilliant. But I don't think it gets enough love. But I think that's because it's so new. My number three is Forum Trajanum, which I know you're not a big fan of.
I hate it, but it's my probably middle of the road for me when it comes to film. Yeah.
There's something about it that I really enjoy. I feel it hits on a lot of good hits. You know, it does a lot of really great things. But I'm clearly in the minority that I think it's as good as just about any of these. I would have debated these over half of the ones that are on the list easily. But Forum Trajanum, it has a lot of cool things going for it. A lot of different fields that you move up. Like, I love, like, it almost has, like, the tracks that are in that one Stegmaier game.
Tapestry,
yes. It almost has that feel because there's a lot of different tracks that you're moving up and getting those bonuses for doing so. I've only seen it in those two games. And I think it's brilliant how it works.
No, I don't disagree. You say I hate the game. I don't dislike it. I enjoy it. I don't think there's been a Filth game I haven't enjoyed. I didn't put this on my honorable mention list because I kind of figured it was going to be on yours. Yep. And so...
And I put it on mine because I knew it wasn't going to be on yours.
So, it's good. I enjoyed it. I do need to play it with more people. I think I've only played a two and maybe a three player game of it. It's okay. I enjoy it. I think I like Carpe Diem more, and I kind of rate those two at the same level, more so because I had issues with Carpe Diem, where Forum Trajanum I don't have that much of an issue with. I just think out of field games, not all of them are going to be home runs, and so this one is kind of okay.
Okay, that's fair. But yeah, that's my number three.
My number three is a cheat. I'm not going to lie. We've talked about it already. And that's the Queen City Collection, Amsterdam and Hamburg. I'm really looking forward to these. And for me, the reason why I put them on this list is because these are the two games out of Feld that I wanted to try the most. And that's Bruges and Macau. And that now I finally get to without paying an exorbitant amount of money for it. So... That's what I like, is that I get it. It's part of a collection series now, so I'm looking forward to getting them. It's the only reason they're on my honorable mention. I could have picked a couple other games on this list, but I can't wait to see them. And seeing that artwork is getting me really excited.
Yeah. My number two honorable mention is... Actually, I'm going to let you try and guess it.
Is it a two-player game?
It is.
Is it the... this is a tough one. Is it the historical one or is it the book one?
Good question. It is the book one.
Pillars of the Earth.
Pillars of the Earth Builders Duel. Yeah, I mean, he made coin flipping good. He made coin flipping good. How? How do you make coin flipping a legitimate tactical, like, strategy? He did it. And that I don't think this game has anywhere near enough love as what it is, because what it is, you have four rounds, nine cards out per turn, and the first player puts down either a row or a column or a diagonal line of mm-hmm. his tokens. The other player has to choose one of the other options. So if you do a column, I have to do a row or a diagonal.
Yeah.
And it has to be, we'll have two cards that will be definitely ours and one card that is contested. Every round, we have to fight over that card that's contested by spending our chips and flipping coins to decide it. But what makes it so smart is it's either one coin has a five on one side and a zero on the other. So it's high risk, high reward. The other one is a four and a one, and the last one is a two and a three. You choose which pieces you're flipping, and if you go into it, and let's say you're the first one, you flip the coin, you flip a five.
Okay.
I can still flip twos and threes, but I have to spend as many as I can or choose to try and beat that. Is the card worth it to me to use up my resources of coins that I'm flipping? I don't know. That's the choice in the game. It's brilliant. It is so brilliant. It's super smart. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it. It's super underrated. I'm surprised it's not even on our list or wasn't on any of the honorable mentions. It didn't get enough love.
Yeah, when I was looking for my honorable mentions, it was on towards the back end of BGG. It's a phenomenal game. I really enjoyed it. I think the reason it gets lost in the shuffle because Pillars of the Earth, the worker placement game by, I think, is it Ken Follett?
Yeah.
That one gets more love, so this one just kind of got lost in the shuffle with it. It's a phenomenal game. I really enjoyed it. Out of his two-player games that I've played, it's probably my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah. It's brilliant. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it. So that's my number two honorable mention.
All right. So for my number two honorable mention here is one we've already mentioned, but it was only in passing. It wasn't actually a honorable mention in the fans poll or anything like that, but we talked about it. You want to take a guess what it was?
Jorvik, technically?
Nope.
No. Castle of Burgundy, the dice game, right?
Yep. I actually find this game phenomenal. It's a really enjoyable Castles of Burgundy re-implementation. I like the little puzzly aspect of it that you still get with the Castles of Burgundy, trying to put these dice rolls in the proper time with the timing. And I think it's really good. It's got a very enjoyable solo mechanism. And it's a good little rolling right. It's fun to play. You could play this over the internet if you wanted to. I think it's, you just got to make sure you have the proper sheets. And yeah. I think it's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree. I didn't put this on my list because I knew you would. I don't even feel comfortable saying it's a re-implementation because it's so different. It really is like a Castles of Burgundy themed roll and write game, but it's a very different game. It uses some similar mechanisms, but very few. Whereas like the card game, it is a mini version of Castles of Burgundy. That's all
it is. No, I agree. To me, it's kind of like the Catan dice game re-implementation that re-implements like that, but better. It actually re-implements its base game a lot better.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And my last honorable mention, you've already guessed it in the previous question. Go ahead and say it.
I can't remember the year, but it's Revolution.
1828 by Renegade Games and I think Frosted Games, I believe, is the other one. They have a cake as a logo.
This is the prettiest, ugliest game that they have.
It's pretty ugly, yes. It's not great, but it's about the debate between Andrew Jackson and the other guy who didn't win presidency. I forget who. I'm a wonderful historian, clearly. Daniel, do you remember who the president candidate was?
Say that again real quick. Who?
Who's against Andrew Jackson? Was it?
Oh, God, I can't think of that guy's name. But yeah, it was... Was it Harrison? I don't think it was Harrison.
It wasn't somebody who shared a name with the presidency. I think it was Burr.
It might have been. Might have been Aaron Burr, yeah.
Yeah, Aaron Burr, yeah. I don't know. We're guessing, but anyway. It's a brilliant game. It's just a tug of war, constant tug of war. It's brilliant how it works. Mm-hmm. You either take a chip that lets you put a point in one of the stacks, if you take the last point or the last token in that row, you get the delegate, which gives you bonuses for points. And then you're buying for majority to get victory points of how many more you have than your opponent, or if you have all of them, then even more bonus points. It's super smart. All of the actions like combo off of each other in really cool, interesting ways. You have those very simple, like all you do is take a token on your turn, but you can discard certain ones and cause actions, which causes chain reactions, which lets you do other moves, which lets you combo on top of it and lets you floor the other people. It is so brilliant. We have a mutual friend who's very good at being way behind throughout the majority of the game. In the last 10%, he somehow jumps in front of all of us. He totally did that on this game. I was destroying him. I was ahead by multiple points. And then in the last round, he just decimated me so hard, he won.
It is awesome. Yeah, he does that all the time. So let's, before we go on to my last album, let's mention about this real quick. So not part of this thing. We were playing, what was the game? It was the racing, Lewis and Clark. Expedition. So this is how bad he's known for coming from behind. He went all the way back to New Orleans and he still beat us.
Yeah, he went to the Gulf Coast, filled up his canteen, and then beat us to the West Coast.
Yeah, you and me were in the first set of mountains and he just sped on by.
Yeah, he just leapfrogged us over. He invented aircraft and flew to the coast. Like, it was ridiculous. Yeah, anyway, what's your number one?
Oh, you already know what it is.
Let's see here. Is it Jorvik? No, it's not, right?
No.
I'm surprised.
It was already mentioned, and I said we'd come back to it later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, whichever one that is. Merlin.
Yeah, Merlin is my number one. Easily probably my third favorite Feld game. There's two others that I think I like higher. I think it's just, as you were saying, he made flipping a coin good. He made roll and move really good. I really, really enjoy this one. The way it works is you get four dice, three of your specific color and a white die. And you get more, I think, another one in the Arthur expansion. I haven't played that one yet. What happens is with your dice, you get to move your character that many places, but you have three of them. So if I got a three, a four, and a two, I decide how I want to work them, because wherever I land, that's going to be my action choice. However, I also got the white die, which has allows you to move the Merlin character. Everybody gets to move the Merlin character, so you got to use it at the right time. Do I wait and just move my character yet, or do I move the Merlin character because I know somebody wants that one spot? So should I move him back slightly? Because he's the only character that can move anti-clockwise. Yeah. And so I think it's a phenomenal implementation of roll and move. Again, it's point salad, so if you do this one, so if you're really good at this one, you can still win. If you're really good at this one, you can still win. If you dabble in a little bit of everything, you can still be in the game. And I think that's a phenomenal thing about point salad. I do need to play the expansions. I have Arthur expansion, and I have the Queenies, and I should be getting the Morgana expansion with the big box soon. So we'll see what happens there. But I think this is probably one of my favorite games of his.
Yeah, very cool. Choices. Are you ready to begin our debate?
I am, but I do have to mention, I find it funny that neither one of us put Jorvik on the list, even though we really enjoyed that one, because I'm not a huge bidding game fan, and that made bidding fun.
Yeah, yeah, I like Jorvik a lot. It's just, there's so many ones that I like. You know, I have a feeling Arena is going to be up there as soon as I play it.
Maybe I'll Alrighty.
That'll be fun.
So let's get into the top eight debate. Here's our quarterfinal matchups. We have the number one, Castles of Burgundy, going up against
our number eight, La Isla.
We have the number two game, Trajan, going up against
our number seven seed, Bonfire.
Our number three seed is Notre Dame
versus our number six seed, Carpe Diem.
In the number four seed, In the Year of the Dragon.
Versus our number five seed, Amerigo.
So this is interesting. We've played all these games, but these are some really good Feld games. And Feld's known for point salads, and a lot of these are point salads, but they do it in such different ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no there's no bottom to the well of mechanisms that he is, that he knows and has produced and created over the years. Brilliant. Let's talk about how we beat these down. During the first round, we will each pick it. We'll each have a side. We'll present our counter arguments, and then we'll pick a side of what we feel goes on. The categories that they are ranked in, ease of play. Basically, that means how easy is it to get to the table initially, how familiar the mechanisms are, and how likely you are to have your brain racked with analysis paralysis, as it's called.
So that's this category right here is going to be hard to decide, because which Feld games makes your brain hurt more?
Right, it will. It's going to be.
All right, so the next one we have here is replay value, the length and time and scaling of the game. So does the two-player game play as well as the fourth-player game? Does it add more time, or is it simply the same? Minimum number of plays to get through it. And so do I play one game of it, and that's all I need to know about it, or do I need a couple other games just to give me the full story and how that works? And finally, expandability. How many expansions are there currently? How many expansions up to one that we assume is going to happen, or how many that have been confirmed by the designer or the publisher?
Right. The next category is art and production. How well does the art contribute to the game? The pieces and components, which most of them are from similar companies, so those will be an easy decision. And the design. How well does the graphic design count for the game's usability?
And then, not finally, but the next one on our list here is second meaningful choice. Huh?
Second to finally.
A meaningful choice. And that is, how does the choices you make in this game impact your long-term strategy, as well as the other players in the game, their strategies? And can you make an arbitrary choice that make an impact on the gameplay, or do you have to make smart choices?
That's right. And the final category, finally, is theme immersion. How well do the theme match the mechanisms? Does it have a theme? Does it match the mechanisms? We're about to find out. Player interaction. How well does the table talk between each other? And finally, memorable moments. Which game gives you those stand-up victory moments? Or
I think a lot of it is just going to come down to the memorable moments when it comes to Feld games.
And even then...
We'll see. And just to clarify, as we said, those are five categories with three subcategories each. However, sometimes we will end up in a tie. And the way we break that tie is the fan vote poll that we were talking about in the honorable mentions. The best way to make your voice heard on that is join us on Board Game Revolution when you put a poll and mark your choice. That will always be our tiebreaker.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. You ready to begin? Right.
Time to release the hair.
Our first one is Castle of Burgundy versus La Isla. Now, we said in the comments earlier, La Isla doesn't get enough love. It might just get destroyed right now. Let me pull out the coin of choosing, the magical, magical coin of choosing. And this will decide who goes first.
I called last week, so it's your turn to call.
Okay, I will call heads. And you are going first, sir.
Tails never fails. Hey, Tampa Bay won the coin toss last night and ended up winning the Super Bowl, so.
So that's science now. Got it. That's how that works.
Castles of Burgundy is my pick.
All right. Argue it.
Which makes me sad a little, because I really like both of these games, and I really do think La Isla doesn't get enough love, but it's also going up against a juggernaut here. There's no denying that fact. What can be said about Castles of Burgundy that hasn't already been said in the comments alone? It's the game that got me to become a Feld fan. It's the first game I ever played of his, and it's the one that I still have the fondest memories of, because there's so many choices, so many ways to get points. I'm going to use this die to get that shipping tile. I'm going to use this die to get put that shipping tile in there. Oh, now I get to get this and move up on the track, and now I'm first player. So means I get first choice when I'm putting out my dice. It's so good. There's so much going on in a game that was made, I think it was 2010, 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. And it's still this well loved. And especially nowadays where you have a lot of people who are in the cult of the new, where what's the new big shiny that's coming out, especially in the Kickstarter generation.
Yeah.
It's highly popular for a reason, as I was mentioning. It's so popular that it led to a couple redesigns that we've talked about in the honorable mentions as well. You got the dice game, you got the card game, you got Tuscany. It's people's favorite for a reason. It's that good. There's a lot of choices. Now, it's pretty much multiplayer solitaire, but it's still that much fun that people enjoy.
Okay. So let's talk about why La Isla is moving on. La Isla is a brilliant big game in a small box. There's a lot going on here. You are basically scientists going into La Isla.
Or a big game in a small box. It's the same size box as Castles of Burgundy.
Correct. No, it's substantially smaller.
Thinner.
No, it's smaller in every dimension. Look at this. It's shorter.
Oh, wow, it is.
It's thinner. It's a smaller box. This is a San Juan size box. So anyway, I'm not going to put that back on there. No, like you thought, it's a brilliant game. And what it does well is it has multi-function cards, which a lot of people may or may not know this, but Feld is really, as much as he's known for the board games and the point salad, his multi-function cards is one of the biggest undersells of like, nobody talks about how well he implements multifunction cards. There is La Isla. There is plenty of others that I'm neglecting to say right now because I'm an idiot. No, I just don't remember.
Bruges, I think, is another one that has the multi-use cards.
Arena does, I believe. And I believe Kokomo will as well. Like the
Kokopelli.
Huh?
What'd you say, Kokomo?
I meant Kokopelli. I did, yeah. I was singing Beach Boys here. But no, the function of these cards are absolutely brilliant in it. And on top of that, it uses like a multifunction scoreboard where the more points they're worth, the more points that the animals are worth, collectively, that decides what the game is worth. And that decides how much everybody's animals are worth because you're hunting these extinct animals that only exist on the island.
You're not hunting them. You're hunting to study them.
You're hunting, and what I mean by that is looking for them. You're hunting. Let's not touch base on that too much. Anyway, every round you pick an A, B, and a C card. You have three cards, and each one has three categories on A, B, and C. A, B, and D. C is technically a category that always goes through. Mm-hmm. But you decide where these cards go, and that alone is substantially more choice than Castle of Burgundy, which is determined entirely. It's just random. It's all just dice rolling. The tokens are random. The tiles that come out are random. What you roll is random. There's no strategy in Castle of Burgundy, clearly.
Oh, bull.
I mean, in Castle of Burgundy, somebody could just simply take the tiles from the island space you need. And if you don't roll the right numbers, you know, it's what I'm really trying to downplay. I'm trying to give this its light of day. Really, I do think Castle of Burgundy is moving on, but it's not because this is bad.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. So remember how I said Castles of Burgundy was my first entry into Stefan Feld games?
Yeah.
That was the first board game of Stefan Feld's I ever bought.
Yeah. Yeah, La Isla, right?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal game. It's actually, I would say slightly prettier than Castles of Burgundy,
yeah,
just because they use a little bit more color and there's a little bit more art in it, but it's Alea, so it's got those is it Alea or is it no it's yeah it's Alea. I could see it's phenomenal. I do enjoy the game. I need to play it more to give it the love that it deserves, but yeah, right. I think Castles of Burgundy is going on.
Agreed.
Because I just think it's a better game, in all honesty.
Yep, we'll spend more time debating it. It's honestly, I think if La Isla was against like half of these other ones, it might go through.
If it went up against, let's say, maybe Bonfire, it could have gone through. But it
the dragon, it probably would have.
Yeah, probably would have gone. It just went up against a juggernaut, and it's just the way it lays sometimes.
All right, so Castles of Burgundy moves on to this semifinals.
Yep.
Our next
writing that down
will be Trajan versus Bonfire.
Talk so who's about the pick?
Bouts. We'll flip our coin again, and that'll be heads. This will be me starting. Daniel, which one do I get to debate?
You get Bonfire.
I would get Bonfire because I was the one who actively seeked this out.
Sure. That's the one I actively seeked out. I was just looking for where they landed in my hat.
No. I'm saying like I seeked it out to buy.
Oh, that, yeah, you did seek that one out.
Because I really wanted to make sure we bought it. So I'm going to be honest. There's two big things about this. Okay. You know how much I love Trajan. This might replace it for me. Because.
That is a lie.
No, it really might. And I will tell you the big reason why in a bit. Bonfire, the way it works is essentially you are just taking down a tile and getting a whole heap of handful of action tokens or spending those action tokens. The actions, there's like 7 or 8 different things you can do, whether move your boat, get a task, move your pieces around, gain sets to complete these essentially objectives, the tasks.
Yeah.
Those tasks are the core of this game. You're completing all of these small little goals to make your combos. And in order to make your combos, you're completing even smaller goals and getting combinations of the cultists, I don't remember what they're actually called, priests, whatever, and then lighting your bonfires. It is actually kind of a pretty game. I really enjoy it, the way it looks, honestly. And all overall, what you're trying to do is you're trying to find a way to balance the amount of tasks that are out, which are only like a third of the ones that are included in the game. You're trying to find a way, what's the best way I can complete the majority of these and the best combinations to do so? Because the player who does that by doing their actions will be the ultimate winner in that game. It's not just a menial. There's almost no random chance of what you're doing. Everything can be planned out turn after turn. The only thing that is kind of random and beholden to what you don't know is just the way that the gnomes come out and which cards you get. But really, that's very far between. Everything else is pure strategy. Now, the reason why I say this, I actually might replace Trajan, is because, yes, Trajan does a lot of the same things, but it feels like that is just 6 mini games put together. Honestly, this does feel like a cohesive package, and the art's better.
I wouldn't say it's a cohesive package. The whole your little tile that determines which tiles you pick up, that disconnect. The rest of it, when you're playing on the board with the pick up and deliver aspect, right, and the things that you want, yeah, that feels fine. But the whole tile placement thing, it's disconnect to the rest of the theme.
Well, at least it has a theme more than Trajan does, because Trajan, you're moving you have like a little mini board where you do a mechanism, right? They're both the same in that aspect.
Yeah.
This is place a tile that you move them on color.
Yeah, but see, the thing about the Trajan one is what I do on the Moncala can affect other people. If I'm moving characters that they want on that little thing, it can affect them. And Bonfire, there's the only real affecting other people is either by taking a token or completing a token, whatever, and you put something on there, making it more expensive for someone later on, or the moving of the actual bonfire itself. That's the only thing that really interacts with other people's long-term strategy, and those are easily mitigated.
Well, the only interaction that you really have in Trajan is how fast you make the game. Yeah. That's it. Like, there's not really interaction otherwise. Like, I mean, maybe a little bit of like that area control with the little bonus tiles, but
I don't know, that upper level of the board when you're doing like the wars and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of.
Yeah, I get you. I get what you're saying. I don't see this replacing Trajan for me. It was okay at best. It wasn't his better ones. I put it down there with Forum Trajanum.
Really? Wow.
I enjoyed it. I put it above it, but it's middle of the road for me. There's just, there's too much going on in Bonfire that, that leads to really a lot of analysis paralysis. For someone like me, who's a fast player, who can get, because I think my moves as we're going along, it, when something happens, it's just like, whoa, my whole turn's gone. Even if I thought of two other turns, that Bonfire be moved three times. Okay, now what do I got to do? Or, hey, how are these tiles going to work for me? Do I need to use them all, but they're bonus points at the end of the game? And how do you place them on this just right to get the bonuses that you want? And it's sometimes it's not what you need. Like for me, when I played it, my big issue was I needed to move the boat to do the things that I needed to do. And my boat pieces were in the middle of the thing and I couldn't get to them when I needed to. And so by the time I got to them, the things that I wanted to get were gone. And it's because of that tile shuffle. So that really takes it out of it. And it's not, you know, and Trage is the same thing. It's not really for people who are new-ish to the hobby. It's more beautiful than Trajan. I will give you that. It's probably, but that's not saying much. I was really hoping when I think it was what Renegade did a reprint of Trajan that they would update it a little bit, and they didn't. No. And that made me sad because Trajan is a great game. It just needed some help with the color palette and the graphic design and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I would say this is a higher on the medium weight spectrum that they have on BGG that is going to be a turnoff for some players. Trajan can be that way. I think Trajan would be easier for gamers than, say, Bonfire. Because I remember when learning it, I was just like, wait, you want me to do what and how and huh? And so Trajan, the first time I played it, I'm like, oh, I get that. And I get what that does. And I get what this does. Because, yeah, you're right. It's like six mini games playing each other. But each mini games are so simplified that you can figure out what you're doing. When we were worried about the stupid little priest that moving along the thing, how do we move them again? How does this work?
Yeah.
How do we put this up? Oh, these go this way and this goes this way. We got to make sure, oh, I want to get this goblin card because it allows me to do different things. It's so much information that it's not as streamlined as people would think. I say Trajan actually feels more streamlined because, as you said, yes, it's six mini games. You could concentrate on one or two of those mini games and still have a chance to win the game if you don't want to deal with the military aspect or some of the other stuff. You can worry about working in the Senate and still be able to do well in the game and get your points that way. The Mancala mechanism, I'm never going to go against this Mancala mechanism. I really love that more than the whole, hey, I got this tile that gives me four different things. How do I match this up? Ooh, look, I can get two boats and one of everything else.
Right. See, the reason why I still think that I might actually like Bonfire a little bit more is just because, like, I agree with you, it is more simplified. Each of the six different categories of things, it is more simplified. But I like the idea of going out and knowing that everything that I do will affect which tasks I need to get. And they are all factors in that ultimate goal of how I get points. Whereas I think in Trajan, you have to really focus on just one or two. I think if you branch out, I think that would be more detrimental.
No, that is wrong. Because I've actually seen people who just dabble in everything, a jack of all trades, master of none, and still be competitive in the game. I've seen people who've done that and got second place. I've seen people who've done that and won the game. If you strategize just right and be like, okay, I'm going to do this. This is going to give me my points doing it here. And then if I do this over here and go to that area of the war where no one has touched, I can get my points over there. And so you can be a jack of all trade and still compete in that one. And Bonfire, if you're not playing correctly, if your tiles don't line right, you can't get the pieces that you need to do something. Especially, like I said, in the start of the game, I needed to move my boat to do the things I needed to do. I couldn't get my boats till after I placed like four of my tiles, which means I'm going to lose my extra points at the end of the game because three of my boat tiles were literally in the middle of the pack.
Yeah. This is kind of an off topic, and let me explain why I'm bringing this up. I watched a TV show for the first time. I don't have TV anymore. I watched a TV show that I was very excited about because it looked like it was going to be really exciting. It's called The Go Big Show. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay. It has like Snoop Dogg, a professional wrestler, like a country singer, like, and they're all They're all
professional wrestler.
Yeah, they're all judges to like this talent show where it's basic. It was basically coined as America's Got Talent with no singing or dancing. And I was so excited to see it because I love that idea. And during the very first episode, two of the competitors were tied. They have a really dumb like victory point thing, or like points where they award points based on like this lever that really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And two of them were tied. And most of those talent shows, they would have gone to like a revote or like or some other factor involved in it. Like how we do, what do? We take the audience vote in the factor. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our tiebreaker. Guess what they did?
Judges vote?
They flipped a coin. Completely.
Okay.
So I'm flipping a coin. Trajan moves on.
I'm just trying to see who this wrestler is because I'm like, I don't know who's on this show.
Yeah, I forget.
I've seen the. Okay. Now I know who it is. Yeah.
Yep.
Trajan. His name's Cody Rhodes.
Yeah. There you go. I was so disappointed in that show and I had so much hope for it. And so that's how I determined the next Stefan Pelican. They're moving on.
Honestly, I think Trajan would have moved on anyways. Even if we went all the way to a tiebreaker, the fan vote would have killed the bonfire.
Yep. Nope, that's fair. They're both really good. So I'll let that coin. Now, I didn't specify which side was Trajan, but you know, whatever. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so
let's move on to the next round.
Notre Dame versus Carpe Diem.
Notre Dame versus Carpe Diem. Let's see who's debating first. I am debating first.
And you get Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Oh, boy. It's been a while since I've talked about Notre Dame. So let me bring out Notre Dame. Actually, no, I don't need it because this is a really brilliant game.
So I do need to mention something. You said Merlin was the first Stefan Feld that I had before you did. It was actually Notre Dame. I got it before you did. We both got it on the same cell. I just bought it before you.
Okay. I didn't realize that. That's pretty good. One thing that I really like about Notre Dame that is unlike almost any other game that Stefan Feld has, it has one of the neatest boards I've ever seen that has a number of like these really strange tiles that fit together based on the player count. It's bizarre, but
well, you need to get that center tile based on the player count for them to fit on there properly.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lick of sense when you see it. But really,
what's even more interesting about it is each one of those tiles has like what, two or three districts in them.
Well, each tile has like seven districts, and so you have to focus your time and energy. And the more tokens you put on a tile, the better the action is. So the first time you take the action is just one of the action. Second time is two more. Third time is three more, et cetera, et cetera. And so you're building up these action spots, trying to gain control of these different regions. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really brilliant game and how it ends up working, because it's also one of the first games that he has where there's something detracting from you that you have to mitigate. And that's the rats in the city.
The rats, yep.
The rats you really have to deal with, and you can't let them just
so let's explain to the people about Notre Dame. It's based during the medieval time when I think Notre Dame is getting built, and so you have to deal with the plague, and that's why the rats are your detractor.
Yep, that's exactly right. So I mean, I think it's a really smart game and how it works. I love that the fact that every time you accelerate an action, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that rarely gets seen. And so I think Notre Dame needs to move on because of that.
Can't disagree with you, because that was one of the things I mentioned, is that I like the fact that it's a worker placement game. Okay, I'm going to place this guy here. All right, I get that bonus. But if I place a second one there or a third one there, it gets more and more powerful. And I'm just like... Mm-hmm. That is cool. And we've seen it in other games recently now, but for a while there, when we played this, was the only game we've ever seen that in until more recently, where people were saying, if you do the same action, it becomes more powerful. Architects of the West Kingdom is the one that comes to mind for me. And I think that's a phenomenal action. I can't disagree with you. Some people might have issues with the rats, but I don't have a lot of cons for this game. I have a few for Carpe Diem, but even then, I still think Carpe Diem is a phenomenal game. It's a very interesting puzzle aspect by you have to draw the right tile, place it in the right spot, but the first tile goes in the little golden shovel. So, and then you have to place next to it. So you got to figure out how you're going to get these tiles. Now, there's three different editions of Carpe Diem. The second and third editions are pretty much the same. It's more graphic design situation there. The difference between the first and the second edition, though, is the movement of your player color. So in the first edition, if that's the one you have, it's a star shape. So you can bounce around through following certain lines. You can never go side to side, basically. Well, they changed that in the second edition. Your side to side is you're either going to the left or to the right, I think is what it is, correct?
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. The first one, you're going across the board in the one of the two spots. The second edition, you're going left or right.
Yeah. So you go left or right. And so what happens is that when you're making those choices there, you're going to pull tiles for what you're doing. And it all depends on the player count. And I like that this about Carpe Diem. So if you're playing a two-player game, once the second tile gets taken out of a section, that section can't be pulled. Those other two tiles are taken out of the game. And yep. So I do like that. So it makes you have to do smart choices, and then it's comboing. All right, I need to build this with this to make this big. And if there's so many of these, I get so many points. But then based on my little frame, if I have them in a certain area, I'm going to get more points, because if that line dissects it, I get those points. And so it's a very interesting aspect of how you do a tile placement. You're basically building a village very abstractly. I might add, that's another detractor's. The theme, I also like the sideboard bonuses for like the end of the round, where you have to choose two bonuses and you have to pay for both. You have to meet both of those requirements that you take away from other players. But if you don't, then it's negative points for you. So it's like, how do I do it? It can be a little mean for new players who don't like that kind of aspect of being forced to meet certain goals. My big con of it, and they fixed in the third edition, it was very hard to see the graphic designs, how the houses meet up or where this goes. I don't own the third edition, but I've seen Rodney Smith's playthrough of it. Mm-hmm. Though I'm not a fan of the cover, I don't like the white box per se. But the screen, whatever they did to it, I see those buildings so much clearer, so much better. I think it's a phenomenal new addition for people. And I don't know about if they fixed the rule book in the third edition or the second edition, but that was another big thing about Carpe Diem, is that it needed the rule book to be better clarified. Because I know you and me, when we played it originally, we had issues with that sideboard because it wasn't very well clarified in the rule book.
No, there was some questions in it. I mean, I like Carpe Diem a lot. One thing that I will say that I agree with you is how there's always the same number of tiles out, and I think that's in any other game, any other designer, you would just put the number of tiles based on the number of players and then you're stuck with those choices. No. Mm-hmm. Different tiles said no, there's always four, and once every player has taken one, or once there's enough where each person
got one from that area per se. So I can get two tiles from the same area if my player goes there twice. It just means those two are taken away, those other two are gone, but it gives you your choices.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you have, you know, the victory points on the sideboard. I really like that, where it's like worker placement, where you get two of them and you score them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody else can take those two. Again.
Yeah, and there's another track that we haven't talked about that you have to pay attention to, because you're the further along on that track means you get to be the first one to make those sideboard choices. So mm-hmm. There's a lot to it. I agree with you that I think Notre Dame is just the better game, but only slightly. I do really dig Carpe Diem. I think it's a phenomenal game. It's just, I think I like Notre Dame more because I like worker placement, and I just love the way that board just is so different.
I agree with you, but I'm going to disagree with you on, I think Carpe Diem should move on, because we've played them around the same time, about a year or two apart, but I don't remember much about Notre Dame that I can't I mean, sure, it has the escalation work replacement things, but mm-hmm. I mean,
it's funny. I'm the opposite. I remember more Notre Dame because I'm like, okay, this is cool. Okay, this is cool. Oh, yeah, I got to make sure I take care of those rats.
Yeah.
My only memories of Carpe Diem is the negatives, and that's the problem. The rule book sucked. The colorblind unfriendliness. If they hadn't done that reprint, I would be fighting hard against this game moving on. Right. But again, they had to do three different editions to make this a perfect game. Notre Dame, they just got a 10th anniversary and not much has changed.
Yeah, they didn't need to change it. You're absolutely right. But I do think that they did fix it, though. That's the thing. I think that's worth noting. We should only go by the one that they're printing now. Sure.
But see, here's the problem with that. That's not the one we've played. We can talk about it, but it's not the one we've played. If we're going to go by, if that's what we have to go by, then we should go by the one we've played. That's why things have been eliminated in this series, because we haven't played them. The first edition is what we've played.
So then Notre Dame moves on.
I'm just saying.
Nope, that you bring up a good point. We'll stick with that. I'll save my arguments for later.
And Notre Dame will be going on against Trajan, so this next category will have to go up against Castles of Burgundy.
Yep. Good luck to either Amerigo or In the Year of the Dragon.
One could hold its own. I don't know about the other.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to talk about that. But we'll breach the elephant in the room shortly. So next, you are going to begin the debate. So whichever one is picked out of your magical hat there, whether it's Amerigo or In the Year of the Dragon, you will be leading the argument. Daniel, which one is it?
It is In the Year of the Dragon.
Good luck.
Yeah, no, I already know which one I think is going to go on, but I really, really dig In the Year of the Dragon. I need to play it more, in all honesty, and I need to play it with a higher player count, at least with one, maybe two more players. It's a great game. I can understand why a lot of people don't like it. It is by far one of the meanest Feld games ever. And it's not mean when it comes to player interaction per se, but there are some negative stuff that come in this game that is just mean. But with that being said, I don't mind the meanness. It gives us a goal because we know it's coming. We see the track. We know what's going to happen. We can mitigate it as best we can. But what I like about End of the Year of the Dragon, it has such a great take on I Split You Choose. Because I don't want to be, there's certain things I want, but you might want them too. But if I make this section over here a little tastier, then you'll want to go for that rather than this over here, and I can get what I want out of it. So I think we're boiled down to this with Stefan Feld. He takes interesting mechanisms and makes them into point salads that you don't think could become point salads. I mentioned it with Merlin. He made Roll and Move a point salad. Mm-hmm. And this is another one. I Split You Choose. What great choices that you can make in this game. You got to be smart about it because you have to think about your other player, because you got to make smart choices for him too, because you want him to pick certain things that you don't want for yourself, or this way you can get what you want. So I love that aspect of it. You could be mean to the other player and then you get bad choices and get stuck with the mean pile. So I like that aspect. You have to be nice to the other player or it's going to screw you in the end.
Right.
And another one is you have to keep an eye out on the entire game. This is one of the few Feld games where it's not multiplayer solitaire. You have to pay attention to everything that's going on because you can get control of a certain thing and you have to pay attention to what the bad thing is going to happen. So do I need to feed my people or is there a famine coming? Am I not going to be producing? You got to be very smart about what you're doing in this game. And I really, really dig that.
Yeah. Those are all really good points to it. The reason why I think Amerigo should move on is because of the cube tower alone. I think that action selection, I really do. That action selection thing gives everybody such a meaningful choice. It is very valuable to think about. I mean, one player chucks in a handful of cubes of different colors. What falls out determines what you are allowed to do on your turn, but everybody has the same choice. If it was just a single player, it would have been broken. And that's the problem with every other cube tower, game that I'm familiar with is that you chuck in whatever you get, whatever it comes out happens. No, whatever comes out, everybody deals with. And then you have that are laid out there. The most number of the same color cubes is how many times you take that action. You choose one of the actions of the colors that you see available. It is now, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with you on that. I really do enjoy that. I do have one problem with the cube tower, is that the top piece should have just moved slightly lower, because no matter how soft you put it in there, there's always like one or two cubes that just bounce out.
Yeah,
it's like, there's like, where'd it go?
Upper, right? Yeah, it makes you know how much it ricochets. But yeah, no, I don't disagree with you like that. But then all of the actions are meaningful. You know, you're battling pirates for points. You're gaining your resources. I like how the track works. That's very simple. Moving around
islands. I get that, but when we were talking about the rats earlier, how that could be mean in Notre Dame, I think the pirate battles are a big detractor for some people, because if you don't concentrate, if you don't get the kind of cannons, or the cubes don't come up properly for you to do the thing you need to do to get what you need to defend yourself, it can lead to bad stuff. Because there was one point where I think when we played it towards the end of the game, no ability to get cannons ever came up. They all were all stuck in the tower for the rest of the game. And it was like halfway into the game and no one ever got any black cubes anymore. I think it was the black cubes that dealt with the pirate stuff. There is a bit of luck in that can be a problem. And it's based on that cube tower, because what comes out, yeah, that's a cool choice. It's just, it's a detraction. The pirate thing, I think it was I won the game or King in second because of that, and that's just because the black cubes weren't coming out.
I get that, and that's like, you know, it's something that technically we all should be able to mitigate against, but at the same time, in the Year of the Dragon is just that. It's all like, there's no way you can get enough to mitigate everything.
No, I don't disagree with you. I think Amerigo should go on as well. But I think the thing about it, I got lucky. Because I decided, you know what, I'm going to concentrate on pirates in the beginning. Nothing was happening in the beginning, but I was like, okay, I'm going to make sure I get as much as I can. I even still got negative points, even though I mitigated. You and our mutual friend were just getting thrashed by him.
It happens. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, but that's the thing about Stefan Feld. In the Year of the Dragon, there's not luck there. You have to make meaningful choices. Amerigo, you're beholden by the tower. It's just like dice rolls. What comes up. You have no way of mitigating that.
Yeah, but I would say that's less of a detraction, because that's more of just a variable in the game itself, and less of a, if just because you chose to go for the pirates doesn't mean that you outplayed us by strategy necessarily, because none of us knew what was going to come up again. You know,
well, yeah, I know. I just decided, you know, because I remembered from Notre Dame, hey, maybe I should mitigate this because it's going to get bad eventually.
Right. Yeah. No, and so you made the smart move on that. And now knowing that, next time I'm going to play it, I'm going to work on that a bit more and get it early on.
But it all depends on what comes up for you to start mitigating that. There's a lot more luck in Amerigo than most of these games. You could say there's a lot of luck in, say, Castles of Burgundy because of the dice. There are so many ways to mitigate those dice, especially when it comes to the workers, which we'll talk about a little later. But that's my only big detractor. I love Amerigo. I think it's a phenomenal game, and it's probably on the top of my list of ones we've played of his. Mm-hmm. Probably 4 or 5 on my list, just on here alone. I like it, and I think it does be End of the Year Dragon, honestly.
Yeah.
But we cannot state enough that the luck can be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it in the Year of the Dragon is definitely more strategic, but that's the only advantage it has over it.
Oh yeah, it's not even better produced. The cube tower is amazing. In the Year of the Dragon, is that a Leia as well?
Yes. It is pretty though. I do like the Leia.
No, it's probably one of the prettiest Leia games, and that's because they didn't concentrate on browns and greens. They went with, you know, a nice red.
Yeah. Yeah, a nice burgundy, which is what Castles of Burgundy should have been. Anyway.
okay, so before we move on to the semifinals, let me go ahead and break down the votes for you that just happened here. La Isla proves my point and doesn't get enough love. They only had one vote.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more.
Next up here of the eliminated ones is Bonfire. It only had 3 votes.
Okay.
That falls up with Carpe Diem at 7 votes.
Okay.
And finally, our number 4 in the Year of the Dragon with 8 votes.
There we go. So I can't wait
to tell the other votes. By what I just talked about, 3 of our 4 games are in the top 3 in votes.
That's right. Yep. All right. Let's move on to the semifinals round. Are you good? Do you need to take a break?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good. Let's go. First round will be Castles of Burgundy versus Amerigo. Daniel, you will be not leading this round. I will be talking.
Well, once I find that paper that just fell.
Uh-oh. It just fell.
Boy, I got to deal with these puns all the time.
I'm here all week.
You get Castles of Burgundy.
Castles of Burgundy. All right, so Castles of Burgundy moves on. And let me, I mean, really, we should break it down via the categories, and I will, because first off, it is easier to play.
Much easier to play. I'm not saying that it's simple. It's just easier to play than Amerigo.
And on top of that, though, this is one of the few times that I will say that even though it's easier, I do think there is more meaningful choice. Yes, you are beholden to your dice rolls, but what Stefan Feld did that is unlike almost any other dice rolling game is that he didn't make it so one number does a different thing than another number. Everything works the same way. It's just which lots you're allowed to choose from. So it doesn't mean if you roll a 6 and you roll a 1, I roll better. No, no. That doesn't have any factor in it whatsoever. That just means that is the number that I'm working with, and it's just a slight variable to what you roll. Just because I rolled a 6 doesn't mean that you can't roll something just as valuable for you on your turn. Now, there is dice mitigation with the workers. It's a little bit of dice mitigation, but mostly it's unneeded. That's not because of what other players are doing. That's because you want to choose the best actions to deal with the situation you have. Every other player has to deal with their situation, sometimes more than others. I think it's an incredibly meaningful choice. It does play quicker. In Amerigo, I think there is a little bit more non-arbitrary choices, but I don't think that it impacts as much as we think. Art and production goes to Amerigo.
Hands down. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah, it does.
Regular Amerigo is still prettier than the re-implemented anniversary edition that they came out with Castles of Burgundy, which they changed very little.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, replay value goes to Castles. Game immersion, I mean, they're just as thematic as the other ones. The only thing that I think that would be better in Amerigo in immersion is the memorable moments. And that's because of just the way those cubes
just drop. Those cube towers. Yeah. Well, of course, our favorite memorable moment of the cube towers, I just mentioned it, is because they bounce. It's like, where'd that cube go?
Right. Yep.
We found, I have to remember when we played Amerigo, we found, I think it was one of the blue cubes. It had bounced out. We thought we found them all, and it was sitting by my table leg that we didn't see. So we were missing one blue cube the entire game just because they should have made that tower just slightly better.
But it is what it is. And that's how it rolled.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you about it. I think Amerigo is a phenomenal game. I really enjoy it. The Cube Tower, hands down alone, wins on art production. It could be as ugly as Castles of Burgundy, and that Cube Tower would have won it for it.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. It really would have.
So, other than that, I have to agree. Amerigo moves on. I'm looking at here. It is well produced. The design works well.
Castles of Burgundy moves on.
Yes. Did I say Amerigo?
You said Amerigo.
My bad. I agree. Castles of Burgundy moves on as much as I like Amerigo.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's an easy
one. By going down to the breakdown.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we would give the points to ease of play, meaningful choice, and
replay value.
And, replay value. Cool. So that's an easy choice. Hope you weren't waiting for a long one on that. We made our all of our points really on the first section. But now the next round, which is Trajan versus Notre Dame. Daniel, you are leading this.
Which is interesting because I love both of these games.
Yep.
Huh. And I get Trajan.
Okay.
Trajan should move on because Trajan.
Darn it. Good point. No,
but I think there's a lot of meaningful choices. No, don't get me wrong. I think Notre Dame has a lot of meaningful choices too. I just think you have to be smart of how you're playing Trajan. You can concentrate on one or spread your wealth a little bit, but you got to do it smartly. Now, when I mentioned earlier that the Jack of all trade can keep you in there, you have to make good choices when you're doing that to stay competitive. Okay, if I do this, I can do this. If I do this, this is going to give me a good amount of points here. If I do this, okay. Yes, you can do that. Sometimes with Trajan, it's better just to master one or two tracks, and you got to be smart about how you're doing that. And you can be smart about doing it by when you're doing the Moncala mechanism and screwing other people's turn. I'm like, okay, he's concentrating on that track. Maybe I should move these pieces. This way he can't get what he needs in that area. So I think that's an interesting aspect of it too. When you go down into it, I have to say, I think Trajan moves on. And I think it's only barely because the art production is a wash there. I would give it maybe to Notre Dame just because of the little carts that you get from it. No. But they're pretty much the same there. What else do we got here? We got art and production. We got ease of play. I have to say, I think Notre Dame's easier. Slightly.
I disagree because there is way more moving parts. And I just want to give a quick shout out. Argon V, hi, said hi to both of us and commented, I agree, play smarter. Yep. Couldn't agree more. Yeah, no, they're absolutely right. It's, you know, Trajan, I would almost say it's easier to play than Notre Dame. Just because of how many moving parts there are, how many times you have to, you know, account for all of the different spaces. Now, as far as art and production, personally, the production I think is better in Trajan, but I like the art better in Notre Dame, but the tiles are not cubes, so therefore art and production I think goes to Trajan. Meaningful choices, same with Trajan. Replay value, neither of them have expansions as far as I know, except technically, Notre Dame has like mini expansions. I don't believe Trajan does at all.
I don't know if Trajan does have any expansions. I know Notre Dame, the anniversary edition that you just pulled out, has expansions in it.
And Notre Dame is quicker, but as for minimum number of players. So I would give replay value to Notre Dame. Technically, just barely.
Yeah.
And game immersion, that would be Trajan.
Yeah, I think Trajan goes on. I just think Notre Dame is a phenomenal game that deserves its love. But it's hard to argue for it against Trajan. There's a reason why Trajan's my 1B when it comes to Stefan Feld games. There's a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. So we've been in this position before, Daniel. Trajan versus Castle of Burgundy are in the finals. We've done this before.
I don't know if we've done Castles of Burgundy and Trajan, except for we have talked about it before.
I'm pretty sure we've debated this before. I want to say like top 8 Alea games, maybe.
No, it wasn't Alea because I don't think Trajan's ever been an Alea game. I think it's been Hachi.
Good question.
Well, I can look it up here. Nope.
Looking at my copy of Trajan right now. I'm not sure. Oh, well.
No. So, yeah, I don't think this has happened.
Well, then we're about to debate it. This will be interesting. So, with that being said, let's go into the finals. But first, why don't you tell us how many votes Amerigo and Notre Dame had?
All right. So, the next one on our list here that got eliminated was number 7, Notre Dame. And finally, Amerigo was our number 3 vote getter with 13. Therefore, our number 1 and number 2 vote getters are going head to head.
Yep. I feel that comment is worth stating. We have a really big fan in the comments here. Daniel, why don't you take it?
My internet sucks where I live, but I love you guys. Seriously, it's almost like having no internet at all, but I still feel like I'm right there with you guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Argon. I'm not sure who Argon is. Anyway. Now we have House of the Burgundy versus Trajan, and in the finals, we don't choose a side. We just simply break it down as to each of the categories, and then we weigh it in by points. Daniel, is there any of these that stick out to you?
There is one that sticks out to me.
Okay.
Ease of play. I really think Castles of Burgundy is the easier game.
Okay. I don't disagree with you. There's another one that sticks out to me.
Oh, yeah? What's that one?
Art and production. Based on the colors alone, because the colors Trajan. That you use to move around on Trajan is better.
Yeah.
And they're way more clear than the tiles on Castle Burgundy, which are really important.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one. I had to think about it. Once you said colors, I'm like, nope, I know where he's going with that one. Because again, Alea.
Agreed. So which one do we go on to now?
Yeah, because I think the other ones are going to be closer than we think. The only one I think is a guarantee here is I think replay value goes to Castles of Burgundy.
For the number, yes, it is shorter. It has significantly more additional content, and they're both 2 to 4.
Yeah, and I think but the thing is, when we talk about replay value with how many that can play it, Castles of Burgundy is pretty much the same length at 4 that it is. It's only slightly higher time-wise than 2 players. Trajan, if you add a third, a fourth player, it's going to last a little bit longer.
Right.
Actually, substantially longer.
And there's a number of player mats and little add-on tokens and mini expansions for Castle of Burgundy. So,
yeah, no, I don't disagree. Though I do want to get the little bags that you can get for it on BoardGameGeek. I think it's going to make my life so much easier.
It does. They are wonderful. Make sure you get the goods token bag too.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one too.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I know you get mad at me whenever I do a show and tell.
We have audio listeners. We have,
and they've heard how brilliant it is. But take a look at this. If you put the boards on the bottom, all the player boards, and then all the main tokens in the bags, you know how beautiful that is. That just fits beautiful. it doesn't. Now, granted, I have the dollar store tokens and stuff, and that fits pretty well. But that's all you need. That's all it needs. It's beautiful.
I don't disagree. I really do want to get those bags. I think when I make my wingspan buy for the tokens, I might buy those bags as well.
Oh, yeah, you should.
All right. So we have game immersion and meaningful choice. Where do you want to go?
Let's go meaningful choice. Honestly, just because of the difference between the Moncala and the dice rolling, they're effectively very similar games. I really do have to give that to Trajan.
I think so too, because as we mentioned earlier, and I think this is what leads to Trajan winning, is the impacting of other player strategies. You can really screw up their plan moves. If you see someone's going up that military track, I'm going to move that out of the way.
No, and I want to give a shout out. Argon V was kind enough to follow us 1 minute ago, even though her internet sucked so bad.
Thank you.
Weird. Strange. So really, what it boils down to is the game immersion. So let's talk about this. Theme matching mechanisms. In Castle of Burgundy, you are landowners, and you are building castles and other buildings and getting farmlands. And that's it. That's about it, because the mechanisms don't match that at all, because your dice...
Not really.
Which pools you can pull from. Whereas in Trajan, you are, you know, like a Roman it's not emperor. You're a Roman leader.
I think you're part of the Roman Senate, if I remember correctly. Like a general or something like that.
Part of it is there's the Senate board. You can ship goods. you're taking over control over the land of Europe, which has a really neat isometric view of Italy, you know, as it's branching out, as you're taking over spots of it. I think it's kind of, it looks pretty good. I like the way that works. And the
no, I don't disagree with you on that, but I think you're making this big old elaborate thing. It doesn't match the mech. The theme does not match. It matches better than Castles of Burgundy. I'll give you that. Yes, but the game's called Trajan, but you're not playing Trajan.
No, it's not. I just think it just matches just technically.
If they went like Roman Forum or something like that, or the Fall of Rome or something like that, it would work because that's what you're doing. You're like generals going out here, or your Senate's going over here. You're a merchant trying to be very successful over here. You're not actually Trajan himself.
Yeah, which is fair. But do we still agree that the theme matches?
I'll give it better. It matches closer.
Technically, yeah. Player interaction. There is more player table talk, I feel, in Castles of Burgundy.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Even though it's multiplayer solitaire, there's just much more.
There is, yeah. I feel like you're more engaged into what the other people do. Because like that, when they take a tile that you own, you will discuss it with them. You will tell them, you took that tile, sir, and I'm going to make sure you don't get any more. And that's the thing you can do. And you can kind of backstab each other. It's very paper thin versus in Trajan, all you're doing is just moving the timer effectively.
Yeah, that's all you're really doing. It's good, don't get me wrong. But yeah, I agree. I've played many games of both of these. These are probably the most played Stefan Feld games I have played. I think there's more interaction in table talk, even though it's multiplayer solitaire in a sense. If you take something someone wants, or if you take that last ship to make sure you're staying in first place, this way you can make your choices better. That can annoy a lot of people, and I really enjoy that, and it's fun. I think it has more table talk.
Yeah. And then finally, we have memorable moments, which this is the last category. The only argument I have for Castles of Burgundy over Trajan, and tell me if you disagree with me, is that when you fill in a section of the board early on...
That's exactly what I was going to say for Castles of Burgundy.
Yeah, it's a little bit exciting, and you're like, yeah.
Especially when you fill in one of those bigger sections, like that have like four or five spots, like the cows or something like that, and you put it in all cows, so you get all those bonuses for having the same type animal. Yeah, mm-hmm. No.
It can be, I mean, it's only exciting for you.
I honestly, when I play with other people and they do that, I'm like, that's impressive that you were able to do that with all cows.
Yeah. Like, how'd you do that on round two and get like 10 bonus points?
Yeah. And no, it's phenomenal. I like it. That was where I was going to go, why I think Castles of Burgundy should have won. Cause there is actually more memorable moments when you fill out that section, or when you, if you're playing just the first board, A, side A, when you fill all six spots of your rivers and you get that one token before someone else does. Oh, it's just, you feel so great about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only thing that I think is a slightly more memorable moment. So, does that mean what I think it means, Daniel?
It means what you think it means.
Castles of Burgundy is the best Stefan Feld board game as of right now.
Yeah, there's a couple more coming in soon, so we'll find out. I really am intrigued by Cocopelli. I can't believe I didn't think about putting it on my honorable mentions because the other two I just more intrigued for, but Cocopelli, that's an interesting theme. He takes these simple mechanisms and makes point salads out of them. So.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't agree more. So I'm curious to see where those come in. I mean, this just proves that Stefan Feld is just one of the greatest designers, you know? But it doesn't prove it, honestly. It just means that we like it a lot. Enough to It doesn't prove anything, really. But we agree with probably the viewers. Daniel, how many votes did they get? I know I saw some margins, but I don't know what the final count was.
So Amerigo, again, I said was at 13. Trajan beat that by 10 points at 23.
Okay. 23.
Castles of Burgundy beat that by 110 points at 133 votes.
Wow. So 133 viewers out there agreed Castles of Burgundy is the best belt game. I don't know what it is about it specifically that makes it so much more enticing than a lot of his other games, but the viewers
agree. Because the simplicity of it, in all honesty, we've talked about it, the ease of play, that even though there's a lot going on and it's multiplayer solitaire, I think, it, to be truthfully honest, it's because it's so simple. It's the puzzle aspect, getting the right tile and putting it in the right spot. I think that's why.
Cool. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. This has been a really fun debate about one of our favorite designers. I'm noticing the more that we like the designer, the less conflict there is between us. Because we're like, yeah, they're so good. We're just excited. We're talking about Feld. Yay.
Yeah, it's nice to actually do a top 8 debate of Feld. That's one of the first things we wanted to do. So it was nice to do it.
Yeah. So we want to thank the viewers and everybody who voted for the Stefan Feld games below and include their comments. That's really meaningful for us. We always like you to do that. And thank you for Argon V for joining us and following us during this episode. And if you ever want to join us during one of our live episodes, you totally can. We will break your internet too. Join us at twitch.tv/everydayboardgames.
You can always find the re-uploads of these videos that we record on YouTube at Everyday Board Games 2020, as well as the audio versions found on most podcast platforms under Everyday Board Games. If you find us on YouTube or on these podcast platforms, please give us a thumbs up and a comment as well. And follow us.
If you have any ideas for episodes, please send us your ideas. We're running low. Email us at everydayboardgames2020@gmail.com.
As well as you can give us those ideas at Twitter and under EBG Podcast.
Please follow us there. We want to thank you all for tuning in. As always, I've been Daniel.
And I've been Daniel.
And we want to thank you for watching Everyday Board Games.
Have a good one.